We know that Canada's women's team kind of, I don't know, maybe got a break with that loss to the Netherlands, but they're not on the side of the bracket of the United States and France. Although if they win today, Germany is on the horizon. Sweden's no pushover. They're the ninth best team in the world. Is this the toughest knockout stage game in this tournament?
I think it might be. If it's not the toughest, the tough one would have been last night with France and Brazil. But if it's not the toughest, it's the closest. And I think there's not a lot separating these two teams, and they've played each other a lot. And I don't think any team has won by more than a goal in the last 10 meetings or something like that. The last time they played each other, they went to a penalty shootout at the Algarve Cup. It's an invitational tournament in Portugal that teams go to every year. So they played for third place, and Canada won in the shootout. So there's not a lot to choose between these two teams. They've always played very close games. They played at the Olympics in 2012, I believe, and it was a 2-2 tie at that Olympic game. So everyone's expecting a close game. I think these teams are very evenly matched, and they're expecting it to be basically decided by a goal, whether it's a 1-0 win or a 2-1 win. It's going to be interesting to see, but Canada knows what the Swedes bring. They're very familiar with each other, so I don't think there'll be any surprises today. But it's going to be a very close, very tight, and hopefully very exciting game.
What grade would you give the Canadian women through the group stage?
I would give them a B, maybe a B+. I thought they played extremely well against New Zealand. I thought that was probably the best game I've seen them play all year in terms of just completely dominating possession and passing the ball around and creating opportunities. And I think the first two games of this tournament, Canada went up against opponents that were just going to defend the entire game. You saw that against Cameroon. They basically sat back. They had five defenders. They had a holding midfielder. So they basically defended with six players. And you can see that they really didn't want to venture forward too far. They had two forwards that basically were up there chasing long balls down and trying to hit Canada on the counter. So Canada really did a good job of being patient and trying to kind of unstitch that defending per se. And so there were some nerves in that first game, but again, I think that getting that first one out of the way really helped them in the New Zealand game. I thought they looked great against New Zealand, and they just didn't finish some of those opportunities, and that's kind of been the knock on this team, is that they create some opportunities, but they're not necessarily taking advantage of them. I think Christine Sinclair hit the post and then hit the crossbar. There's a couple of other good opportunities. So that game, it was 2-0. It could have easily been 3 or 4-0 at the end. And then against the Netherlands, I thought, again, Canada was really kind of nervous against the Netherlands. They looked tentative in that first half. They played a little better in the second half. Netherlands had three chances in the second half. They scored on two goals. And then after Canada went down, I thought their last 15 minutes, they were great. I thought they created a lot of chances. I thought they were the better team in the last 15 minutes, and they just weren't unable to get that goal. So they haven't been the best that I think they have in them. I think there's still another level they can get to, but I do believe they've been pretty good so far.
Derek, I think we can both agree the defense and how organized they were in the back line, essentially the entire 2019 only conceding one goal heading into that match against the Dutch. I thought the back line was really solid against New Zealand and Cameroon, but we saw some holes against the Dutch, who, by the way, are a very, very good sign, the European champions as well. Is that a concern heading into this, that when they face the upper echelon of the tournament, can this back line be exposed, which has been the Achilles heel of this team for years, or do you think it can hold up against an elite side like Sweden?
I think it's interesting because the Dutch have three elite strikers on their team, and they attack with three strikers, and you can see how good these players are when they attack Canada one-on-one. To me, the strength of the Canadian back line is their ability to stop, to make plays one-on-one. They don't get beat very often one-on-one. If you look at that back line, if someone tries to take them on, they do a great job of winning tackles. And I think what the Dutch kind of exposed is that, well, if you have the talent, you can take on some of these players. You can take on the Kenisha Buchanans. You can take the Zdorskis one-on-one. You can beat them one-on-one. I think that's what the Dutch did really well. They really attacked these players. But I think they're going to have to defend more as a group. I think Canada relies on that one-on-one defending ability of their two fullbacks, of their center backs, and being able to kind of win those tackles. So they don't provide a lot of help. They provide a lot of help behind them, but they don't provide a lot of help in terms of going and trying to win a ball with two or three people, as opposed to just they believe that the one person can win those tackles. So it's going to be interesting how they adjust to that when they play bigger teams and better teams in the tournament. And I think the Swedes do have some talented forwards, but I don't think they're the caliber that the Netherlands brought.
Derek, I don't want to be negative Ned right now or bring the negative energy to the Canadian national team, but if Canada does fall today from Sweden, is this the last World Cup match for Christine Sinclair?
I think it is. I really believe it will be. Christine Sinclair is 36 years old, so the next World Cup, 4 years, that'd be 40 years old. And it's just the way the game is going now, it's just so fast. And it's kind of like hockey in a sense that these 18, 19, 20-year-olds are coming up. And they're not necessarily paying their dues. They're coming up and they're starting and they're making an impact right away. So 40 years old, it would be tough for anyone to kind of keep up to the 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are coming up and doing a great job. And I think the level of play right now for the women's game is improving so much year by year by year by year. I think it would just be tough to hang around seeing that so many kids are knocking on the door. And particularly Canada, they have 3 18-year-olds on their squad that are making an impact and not just here for the ride. So I think, yeah, we talked about that yesterday, that this could be Christine Sinclair's last World Cup game. I don't think it'll be her last game for Canada. The Olympics are around the corner next summer. So I think she'll play in that Olympic tournament. She'll try and get her 3 goals that she needs to become the all-time goal scorer, and then she'll probably play it by year after that. But, yeah, as far as World Cup goes, I think this might be it if Canada loses today.
Derek, before I let you go, Canada had an impressive 7-0 beatdown in Cuba at the Gold Cup yesterday. We know they lost 3-1 to Mexico, but that was a competitive match. I know you're in France. I'm sure you maybe either read about it or saw some of the highlights of their plight at the Gold Cup right now. The team looks organized, and there's a ton of talent on this team. Even Jonathan Osorio said he's never played for a national team with this much talent, but how much confidence has John Herdman maybe instilled in the fans of Canada's national team that maybe they can qualify for a World Cup without having to host it, Derek?
Yeah, I think he's done a very good job. I'd still like to see Canada play a little bit bigger opposition. I know they beat up on some teams. Cuba is not necessarily a heavyweight when it comes to soccer, but I think you're looking at the generation both on the men's and women's side, and I think the women believe they have a golden generation coming through here now. Players coming through, they believe that they're the most talented team they've ever put on field as far as women goes. It looks like the men are kind of in that same category. I think it looks like this is probably one of the most talented men's teams that ever come up on the field. You look at some of those young guys that are making those contributions, and I think a lot of that has to do with just the growth of the game in Canada. I think the MLS teams really do a good job. They develop young players, but then now you have your kind of your rec programs, your elite programs that you're getting these players to develop and play in. And that's helping a lot. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that right now because these teams, the men's and women's teams, have a lot of really, really exciting, dynamic players on the team. And I think it's just a matter of finding the right person to kind of bring that all together. I think to have that in the women's coach, I think Kenneth Heinemöller has done a great job of assessing his talent and kind of putting it all together. John Herdman, as you saw what he did with the women, and everyone hopes he does the same thing with the men, kind of puts it all together and gets the most out of them. But I think it's an exciting time for Canadian soccer right now, just the way that young players are developing. And you have to give credit to the TFCs and the Vancouver Whitecaps and the Montreal Impact and now the Canadian Premier League coming in here. That talent is just going to keep going and keep developing. And I think good things are ahead for Canadian soccer.